Somebody shout praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
John chapter 11. John chapter 11. You got it? Say amen. Verse 35, you are to be able to quote this one. Jesus wept. Can you say it with me? Jesus wept. That's what I want to preach on. God will give me the grace and the ability. Jesus wept. The old colored spiritual says, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows the trouble I see. That's a spiritual song, for it talked about trouble. These words were born out of suffering and affliction. They affected many people and were passed down from one troubled heart to another. Nobody, somebody knows the trouble I see. That old adage is just as true today. Misery loves company. We all have our times of trouble. We rejoice not in the trouble of others. We just don't like to suffer by ourselves. When we suffer alone, we don't feel good about it. Somebody knows the trouble I see. That sweetest, sweetest thought is, there is somebody who cares for me. In life's problems, just a little bit of comfort is better than no comfort at all. If we can just make it to some heart that feels for us, so we won't have to feel like we're bearing this burden all by ourselves. You see, many of us are in trouble, and we have that sense that nobody loves or cares for us. David said that in his troubles. He said, no man careth for my soul.
Right, right.
He just didn't know. Neither do we. We come to these times when the burdens of life settle down on our shoulder. What to do with them, how to handle them, where to go with them, how to get over. We just want to get over. That sometimes leads us to courage, and courage will lead us to faith. If we can have courage in those ordeals of life, then we can be strong. And in the strength, we can bear our burdens. But who do we turn to? You know, nothing is worse than secret sorrows. When you get trouble you can't tell nobody about. When you have to bear it by yourself, you don't dare to reveal it to your innermost friend. You don't tell your companion. You just feel the sense that you just can't talk about it. And therefore the burden gets greater. And you look for that. You would take that step of unburdening your soul to get some ease, to get some help. But who can you turn to? Who would understand? Then we come to our text. Jesus wept. Oh, what a text. Amen. Jesus wept. It's hard to imagine God so involved in something that it makes God cry. That's unheard of. God so close to a human heart that it grieves him and he weeps. But here it is. Nobody knows the trouble I see was the old spiritual song. You can sing that and believe it if you want to, but just one verse, just one line changes the whole song. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Listen to the rest of it. Nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. And there is the pivot, the hinge. There the door swings open. There help walks in. Their comfort is ours for the asking. All of this suggested is just the meaning of this shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Come on, somebody shout amen.
Amen.
One man said, Jesus wept. That's the tower of strength for me, because it just shows that Jesus had trouble too. Yes, my friend, love will always cause you to respond. It's a loveless heart that doesn't respond. It's a heart of cold, unemotional that doesn't respond. When somebody loves deeply, they will respond. Amen. Jesus wept as a response to what Jesus was standing next to. I wish you'd help me. Just three things and I'll take my seat. I want to talk to you about paradox. I want to talk to you about persistence. And I want to talk to you about purpose. Three peas in a pod are to make a sermon. Right? Paradox, persistence, and purpose. A paradox. Look at the paradox. It's association. A paradox means an association of two ideals or events which do not seem to belong together or which seem to be self-contradictory to one another. We find that in John chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. There's two paradoxes in here. Paradox number one. Now, Jesus loved Lazarus, therefore he was sick. That's a strange combination of ideals, isn't it? Now, the meaning is not because Jesus loved Lazarus, he was sick. The paradox is the fact that even though Jesus loved Lazarus, he was sick. Jesus loved Martha. Jesus loved Mary. Jesus loved Lazarus. And the last thing you would expect in a house that Jesus loved, frequent and honored, would be sickness. But there's the paradox. Do you understand? Lazarus was sick. You sit here tonight with sickness yourself and affliction. You don't understand. If God loves me, why am I sick? Why am I hurting? Why is these things happening to me? The paradox is that Jesus still loves Lazarus. He still loves Martha. He still loves Mary. The human point of view is the last thing that you would expect to find trouble would be in that house. Some people say, Brother Benny, do you ever have problems? And I smile at them and they say, you have problems? I got yours. Of course I've got them. That's not paradoxical, is it? I got yours. Yes, I do have problems myself. You have problems yourself. And as a church, we have problems together. Some we can talk about, some we can't talk about. But the paradox is still there. Does Jesus love Dryden Road? Yes. Does Jesus come to Dryden Road? Yes. Does Jesus frequently come to Dryden Road? Yes. Does Jesus do great things at Dryden Road? And the answer to that is yes. But yet, does Dryden Road have problems? Of course we do. The paradox is that when the Lord loves us, the devil hates us. The paradox is that when the Lord comes to us, the devil tries to fight it. Y'all gonna help me preach? The point of the love of God does not automatically seal us off from problems. Normal experiences will come called trouble. Amen. I know you don't like to talk about it, but we all have them. Amen. The second paradox is even stranger than the first. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Therefore he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. When trouble comes to this family, you would expect the natural thing would be Jesus would drop everything and go to them immediately. The paradox is that he didn't. He stayed 2 days where he was. Instead of getting up and going right then, he didn't do it. That's paradoxical. Because he says, before you ask, I will answer. Before you call, I'll hear. I'll respond. But here it is, the paradox is that he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You would expect him to be there. But he deliberately waited 2 days. In fact, he didn't go until Lazarus was dead before he ever got up. Because 2 days' journey from where he was there made 4 days before he got there. He waited 2 days and then got up, and it took him 2 days to get there. He was 4 days late. But he was still their friend. It's a strange answer indeed that Jesus didn't respond immediately to their call. It's strange indeed that Jesus could love them so intimately and yet be so deliberate about not coming when they called. You see, herein we learn the lesson of the school of prayer. You need to understand the real sense of Martha and Mary when they sent and asked for him. They were actually praying to Jesus. They called upon him in the time of trouble. He didn't come. They called upon him when they needed him the most. He did not come. The answer you get is that, have you ever prayed at such a time and seemed that no answer came? Did your heart say, does Jesus not care? Or does it say, is he powerless to respond? We need to understand from the school of prayer, Jesus does not have to answer your prayer the way you think it should be answered. Such questions reveal a lack of understanding, a lack that constitutes an answer to prayer. No sometimes is an answer to prayer. Yes sometimes is an answer to prayer. Wait sometimes is an answer to prayer. For God does not deal in your time, but in his own time. God's wisdom is greater than ours. God does know more than we do. And God can handle any situation any way he chooses. Give us something bigger, maybe something better. Who knows why God waits? You could ask for health, but God would give patience. You could ask for prosperity, but he'll grant you contentment. You could ask for deliverance, but he can send strength for healing. But in your suffering, God can give you a chance to witness to others. Sometimes it's wait. That was Jesus' answer to Martha and Mary. Wait 2 days. Wait 2 days. I have a greater answer than you can imagine. Just wait those 2 days. So you learn to watch and pray and pray and watch and wait and pray and pray and watch and wait and watch and pray. Because he has his own time schedule. When you cannot walk by sight, you can always walk by faith. And one day, everything will be plain. One day, you'll understand it better by and by. Oh, I think it suggests our second word, persistence. I'm referring to the persistence of the faith of Martha and Mary, especially that of Martha. Despite the fact that Jesus did not guard them from trouble, they still turned to him. In fact, they turned to him in faith in that hour of need. Lazarus got sick. They turned to him until they waited until it seemed too late. Still their faith persisted. Both of them gave him the same answer upon his arrival. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Notice that note of disappointment. Even that little bit of censure. We called you, but you did not come until it's too late. Have you ever felt like telling the Lord? Some of us have, haven't we? In our own way, where were you? I needed you yesterday. Where were you, Lord, when I was really going through it? What's happened, Lord? And you're not helping me preach. That note of disappointment and censure has been in a lot of our prayers here lately because we don't have answers If we could only have a pat answer. Why, Brother Shannon, Lord? He's a good man. Why, Brother Shannon, Lord? Why? Why do we look? Why do we see? And why can't we get something done? We call upon him. We believe. That is always there. God had let us down. You feel that way. You have prayed. And you feel like God has let you down. It's gone too far. It will never be like it was. I can't get up from this, Lord. My faith is never going to be the same. We feel like God had let us down. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But God never lets you down. In your trouble, you cry to the Lord. But the heavens seem as brass. In your trouble, you cried to God, and God seemed awful silent. In your problem, it seemed as even though God did not care. Let it be said, however, that disappointment is the fruit of hope, not of despair. If you had no hope, you would have had no disappointment. But because you had hope, hope can be disappointed. Thank God for hope. But though for a moment hope may be crushed, like truth, if grounded in faith, it will rise again. This is true in the case of Martha and Mary. They had their faith put to the test. Their faith had been bruised, but not crushed. However, this served only to add to the frustration. Jesus could have saved their brother, but he did not. However, there is one additional note in Martha's faith that's absent in Mary's. Mary may have sat at Jesus' feet and left Martha in the kitchen. But Martha's faith did not suffer from kitchen duty. Love has a way of equaling the ground. Martha, this quality of strength enabled her to arise to the occasion. Listen, she said, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. To understand the faith of Martha, you've got to look at it. You must concentrate on her words. I know. Now, the word I know speaks of knowledge. There are just two Greek words for the word I know. One speaks of knowledge which comes from a given experience. I know that fire burns. I know that. I've got that knowledge. Play with fire, you're going to get burned. I know that now. One time I didn't know that. I got too close to the fire and I learned my lesson. Fire burns. Anybody out there know that kind of knowledge? Yeah. Comes from experience. Like the little boy Brother Cox was talking about that eat 12 dozen or 12 roastineers, a dozen roastineers, and his little belly was just as tight as it could be. He was not feeling good about his endeavor of eating 12 roastineers. He said, Lord, I think if you would take care of 6 of them, I could handle the other 6. He found that knowledge at 12 wasn't a good number. That's where one source of knowledge comes from. But the other is used, and it's an inner conviction of the soul. There's one knowledge you learn by experience, and there's another knowledge that you know. You know that you know. And that's what Martha had. She had that discerning of that knowledge that was in her soul. I know that even now, I know that even now, my brother's dead. He's been dead 4 days. By now he stinketh. I know that even now, if whatever you ask God, God's going to do it. She had no evidence of that. There's no evidence anywhere in Jesus' ministry that he raised anyone after 4 days of being in the grave. She had nothing that she could prove it by, but she knew it. She had nothing that she could hang her hat on, but she knew it. How many knows that you can know when everybody else thinks you don't know, you can still know. There's something about it that when you prayed, you know that God's going to do it. You feel God's going to do it. You can't put it in writing. You can't pass it on back history. You just know that God is going to do it. So it was there that Martha's faith soared. I know. Martha's knowledge is going to be the springboard for her faith. For her experience does not go this deep, but she does know who she believes in. Life is filled with mysteries. We cannot always understand them. They're not always up for explanation. We cannot always write an essay on them. The mysteries of life and death, we don't know them. We know of them. We can experience them. Calm and conflict, triumph and trouble, sunshine and sorrow. These are left to us to explain, but we can't explain. But the context of life is summed up in what we know. Job said it years ago, before the Bible was ever written. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Job, you have nothing to know, even while nothing about your Redeemer. He is not going to come on the pages of history for another thousand some years. But Job said, I know what I know, and I know my Redeemer liveth. And I know that I will stand in my place, and with my eyes I shall see him. Though the skin worms eat me, yet I'm going to have eyes to see, and I'm going to know him when I see him. Oh, my precious people, there is where our faith is. It's an overwhelming mystery, life is, but there is a solution to it. When you cannot find the answer, it's given in experience. God gives us experience after experience after experience so we can gather up a knowledge that when nothing else is understandable, we can stand before God and say, I know that even now, you can do the impossible. I know that even now, you can turn things around. I know that even now, you can make a way where there seems to be no way. I know that even now, the impossible is possible with you. I know. I don't know it from my present circumstances, but I know it by an abiding conviction. God is love, and God acts in a loving design. When we cannot understand the pattern which he weaves, he continues to weave it so that one day we will see the whole picture of life. Jesus says to Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Martha, like most of us who have any understanding of the Bible, jumps. I don't know how many times as a preacher I've felt folks jump about three pages over on me and think, aha, and then it, aha, didn't show up. And maybe you're out there tonight playing leapfrog with this message, thinking, I know where he's going next, do you? I'm not for sure I do. But I do know this, that when Martha's faith, when he said, thy brother shall rise again, Martha thought of the final resurrection because her faith was in God. But just like us, Jesus, in that deepest sorrow, pulled her back into reality and said, Martha, you're about to jump too far, and you're going to jump over a lot of blessings if you're not careful, Martha. Take it easy, Martha. I'm here to inform you. This didn't happen by accident. This is the purpose of God. God's got a will in this. God's got a program for this. God's got something he wants you to see, and you're jumping too far to see it. Come on back here, Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He said to her, believest thou this? That's when her faith took wings. That's when we should take wings. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus did not say, I will be the resurrection and the life. He said, I am the resurrection of the life. It's not merely a future hope, but a present reality. Don't jump too far, Martha. Don't jump too far. Apply these words to death if you want to. Apply them to life if you need to. But Martha, your faith, you've got to have it right here. When Jesus said, "Believest thou this?" And she steps up with the greatest faith that any woman in the New Testament utters. She said, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Oh, hallelujah. Martha's faith was adequate for the trial. She was now standing next to Jehovah Jireh. She was now standing next to God Almighty. She was Emmanuel's companion for a moment. And her faith and her mind leaped to the occasion. And I would to God tonight that before we get too far, that we would remember life is not smooth and easy. And we wonder why we're so perplexed when the road goes up and falls out from under us. And we need to realize that when we have that smooth road, we lay treasures up in heaven. That when the bad day comes, that we can draw from our treasures that we've laid up in heaven. Martha had made many a meal for Jesus. She had listened around the kitchen post to what Jesus was saying to Mary. Amen. But she had gathered fragments enough to build and lay up and build and lay up. And now crisis had come. But Martha said, "I believe and I know." Oh, somebody ought to shout those words. I believe and I know. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we get to the third, the purpose. Jesus said to his disciples, "And I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe." There is an intent. "To the intent ye may believe." Jesus said, "I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. Because if I had been there, I would have healed him. And you would have never seen this great battle." Do you know that during the Civil War, men and women gathered to watch those great battles that were fought? Jesus is gathering a gallery. There's Martha and Mary. And right, there's the weepers, there's the Jews. He's gathering a gallery because there's going to be a great conflict. There's going to be a great crisis. Somebody is going to challenge death. You see, it was the Jews who believed that the Spirit hung around 3 days, hoping that there would be a connecting again with the body. This is the fourth day. So in their thinking, all possibilities had been trashed. And Jesus said, "We're gather the spectators together. We are going to have a battle. I am going to challenge death. Death has now devoured. Death has now sunk his fangs in until all the strength and the vitals and everything are destroyed. I am giving death a 4-day head start. I am loading the stage in behalf of death. But I am about to rip death's fangs out of its jaws." And he said, "If you just believe, I am the resurrection." Jesus stood there and Jesus wept. Tears gushed forth, gushing forth of tears, identified Jesus knowing that everybody who is going to pick up this gospel and read the 11th chapter of John was going to have hope again ignited in their heart. All of those people that we've laid in the grave, mom and dad and sister and brother, we've laid them and walked away from them. Shall we ever see them again? Is there somebody that can get them up and present them whole when they have gone back and they're destroyed? But God can go back and God can do the impossible and God has the power to recreate. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe." To the intent that you may believe. He is saying to them, "Get you a ringside seat. This is not going to happen again till the great resurrection. But I'm going to show you that we begin to find our answers in God permits sore trials God gives faith equal to the test. When you are tried to where you can't go on, there is a knowing and a believing that stands up inside you. Oh, hallelujah. So your trouble can be an experience of God's love and his confidence in you. Instead of regarding it as some calamity, you should see it as God's opportunity. Amen. Sister Donna never realized that she would be a show and tell. She didn't realize that when she succumbed sitting in these pews that God was going to use her as show and tell. But that night, Donna was show and tell. God showed us that a person could die, and we know that they're dead. Then God can say that in the name of Jesus, and that soul that was dead and fleeing away has to come back to us. Amen. I remember saying the words to Donna, live, Donna, live. And all of a sudden she did. In the name of Jesus, she did. Show and tell. Hell knows that God is going to use you for show and tell. Your burden is great. Your trouble is mighty. Your heart is aching. You don't understand. But it may be that in that hour, Jesus will use you, Martha. And he will repeat your words thousands of years later. Your words will repeat it by holiness preachers that will say, but Martha, you believe. Martha, you know. At the grave, Jesus weeps because he knows every heart that's going to be sorrowful and will need comforting. Jesus burst out with tears, as we have at the graves of those that we love. Mom, oh, how do you replace mom? Dad, how do you replace dad? How do you replace kin? How do you replace companions? Jesus wept. He burst forth in tears to show us the greatest God that's ever come to earth wept like a man because men were weeping. What a strong tower. What a great compassion. What a mighty love. Does Jesus know about my troubles? If anybody knows, Jesus does. Can I get some help? Not everybody got converted because of that great miracle. I'll tell you about the battle in just a second, but I want you to know before we go into that arena, not everybody's going to come out on the side of Jesus. Some of the Jews are going to believe, and some of them are going to go away and report it to try to get him arrested and killed. So that it's a division. It's a division about what you know and what you believe. Some of you will go home tonight blessed with this message, and some of you will go home scratching your head and say, what did that old man try to tell me tonight? I can't make sense out of that. Don't feel strange. Tomorrow night or whenever it is, the other side may be scratching their head when they leave, and you go home and say, I know. I understand that one. I got it. Help me, Jesus. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He took the glove of challenge and flung it down and asked death to meet the challenge. Yes, sir. Jesus, though he looked like a man, was Emmanuel. He was God. Everybody there knew what 4 days in that tomb meant. Even the sisters confessed it. By now he stinketh. He can't get up. You can't hold his body together. All that's holding Lazarus together is the rags that we tied around him when we embalmed him. It was a hopeless situation. Jesus walks up to the mouth of the cave and he challenges death. 4 days. It's too late to get his spirit back. Too late for his soul to come back. Too late for him to live. And the Jews stand there like this. Who does he think he is? It's too late. Martha stands there and says, by now he stinketh. Jesus merely asked for the referee, roll the stone away, clear the playing field, take all obstacles out of the way. If death can hold him, I'm not the resurrection. But if death can't hold him, I am the resurrection. That was the challenge. Death, hold him if you can. Death, get a grip on him because I'm coming after him. Death, hold Lazarus as tight as you can because I'm coming in and I'm coming out with Lazarus. And Jesus doesn't even get physical. He stands at the mouth of the cave and says, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, every eye goes from Jesus and Martha and Mary and focuses on the mouth of the cave. Will anything come out? Can death be defeated? Can God bring back Lazarus 4 days dead? And all of a sudden, the noise is not with the crowd because the crowd are quiet. The noise is from the cave when they hear movement. And all of a sudden, they don't know what's going to come out of the cave. And here comes Lazarus. I said, and here comes Lazarus. And here comes the power of the resurrection that's in the word of Jesus. And one day when I'm laying in the tomb, and one day when the casket is sealed, and one day when the crape is there and the dirt is on, it will look like I'm dead. But don't believe it. There's a word going to be spoken. Jesus is coming with a shout. Jesus is coming with a shout. And when he shouts, the dead in Christ shall rise. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Death not only loses this round, but death's going to lose the one in the future. I wasn't there to see this one, but I'll be there to see that one. I wasn't there to hear that voice, but I'll be here to hear this one. Oh, somebody ought to shout amen. Amen. Jesus knows all about my trouble. Jesus knows about the trials I bear. Jesus knows when I can't go on any further. Jesus knows when to give a lending hand. Jesus can lift you up. Jesus can open the door. Jesus can give you strength. Oh, somebody ought to raise your hand and shout, Jesus can. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, your answer is not the Dryden Road Pentecostal Church. It's in the head of the church, Jesus. A never failing God. Do the impossible. Anybody shout impossible? Jesus can. I can't. Jesus can. I said I can't. Jesus can. No matter how high the mountain, he can bring it down. No matter how low the valley, he can fill it up. He can take the crooked and make it straight. He is on my side. Amen. As the little girl said to that scripture, if God be for you, who can be against you? And if she said, and if God be for you, the devil's up again it. And that's how I feel. Well said, sister. If God be for me, the devil's up again it. If God be for me, death is up again it. If God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Well, I'm ready to take my seat. I went through my 3 P's, and I didn't even have a pod, did I? But Jesus wept because he knows. Jesus wept because he knows. We're all sitting here in anguish, wondering about that day. But that day will come. When you need him as a healer, he'll show up on time. When you need him as a friend, he'll never forsake you. When you need him in your future, he'll always be present. And when you need him to take care of your past, you can cradle in the arms of Jesus and he'll rock you to sleep until it's all better. Amen. Amen. I remember my mama going home. The last thing that she said, I'm tired. I said, well, just kick back in that recliner, Mom. She said, no, I'm tired of living. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of trouble. I said, Mom, what are you telling me? You don't want me to pray for you to stay here any longer? And she said, I don't want you to pray for me. I want to go home. I said, Mom, I just got one favor I want you to do for me. I said, you know how I love Grandma? I said, I want you to tell Grandma when you see her, I'm coming. I'm preaching my way that way. I'm coming. Don't know when, but I'm coming. She said, I'll do it. I walked my mom to the bed and laid her down, pulled the cover up on her, and wasn't long till death come. Jesus always comes. He'll never fail you. Oh, I wish I had a believer. Can anybody say, I know? I know because I know him. I know because I know him. I know because I know him. 50 years, he's never failed me. Oh, hallelujah. I told you before that when I was just a young preacher, the Holy Ghost spoke to another preacher and said, you will go from city to city and coast to coast. You can ask my wife. I didn't try to go anywhere. I didn't go to camp meetings. I pastored little churches. I stayed right there. I pastored my little churches. I didn't try to fulfill that prophecy. I didn't want it fulfilled. I was happy just doing that. It was here. Years had passed. And I had come to Dryden Road. I'd come over here to do the same thing, to stay and to preach and to pastor. One day, in one day's time, I got a call to preach in Virginia. That's not strange. I had friends in Virginia. But the same day, within an hour, I had a call to preach at California. And there started that little running that I'd done for about 3 or 4 years, going here, going there, preaching this meeting, preaching that meeting. I didn't have anything to do with it. It was a God who said, my purpose for you, you'll go from city to city and coast to coast. No, that's not a revival. That's not an evangelist. That's just God doing things because he's God. If God speaks it, mark it down. It will happen. How many knows that? Will you raise your hand if you know that? I don't mean jibber-jabbers. I don't mean this light and stuff. I mean if God speaks, God will see that his word never falls to the ground. Anybody know the trouble I see? But Jesus knows. Let's stand. Some of you are going to have a rough time. I know you get tired of me telling you that. 2014 is going to be a challenging year. I already feel the challenge. I have Paula. I'd love to see God challenge that Parkinson's and defeat it. God can. Sister Brenda with cancer. Doctors will debate on what they can do, but I know a God that can speak a word and cancer will die immediately. How many knows that? Death is going to come after some of our elder folks and probably some of our younger folks. We never know. But don't ever let the devil tell you that nobody cares and nobody knows, because Jesus does. Jesus cares. Sis, your mom, Sister Lindsay, had a lot of faith. She was caught. She wanted to stay and take care of Frank. More than anything, she wanted to stay and take care of Frank. She knew how helpless he is. He don't look helpless. He's pretty helpless. But she had to finally give it over to Jesus and say, Lord, I trust you with my Frank. And as soon as she'd done that, She sped away from us. There's got to be a time when we commit that which we cannot keep. We can only keep it when we give it away. And sometimes that permission to go is a reason for Jesus to come. How many know that? Oh, you don't know that. It's the truth. Sometimes we have to give it up in order to keep it. But that is what this message is all about. Jesus wept because he knows the trouble you're going through. This altar is open. If you'd like to come, you'd like to seek God. Your problems, your trials, you can give them to Jesus. He can work them out.
Just trust him and believe he can do it.